All right, we bring in the third base coach of the San Francisco Giants, the Professor Ron Wotus. Well, good morning. How are you?
Top of the morning, Marty. I'm doing great.
How is St. Louis treating you as far as weather-wise? Because there have been some moments in St. Louis when it could be pretty hot there. What's it like this trip through?
No question about it. You know, we have hit the weather just right. We haven't had any rain. That's number one. That's interrupted anything. The workout we got here on Thursday night for the workout, it rained as soon as we got done with the workout. But the big thing is the heat. You know, we play in cool weather in San Francisco, and coming east with the 2-hour time change, and then you get in this hot humidity. It could be very difficult on the players. Now, if you remember, Marty, we used to have to wear the cabbage in our hats in the old St.
Right.
Louis ballpark and to keep cool. And that AstroTurf they used to have, it used to get like 120 degrees on the field in summertime. And it has been so pleasant in the evening. I think it's been like, you know, low 80s, high 70s, very, very comfortable. Today the high is supposed to be 82, and it doesn't feel like the humidity is like soup. So we got a couple good things going for us.
You know, it's funny, playing in St. Louis, I think about playing in San Francisco before the big crowds. St. Louis is a great baseball town, Will. When you look out, there really is that sea of red that you feel when you look in the stands.
It's one of the best. I remember coming here as a player, and you were in awe of the atmosphere. You know, staying at the hotel, the lobby was always full of fans. There's red everywhere, as you said. And I've had multiple coaches already tell me after one night here at the ball game how they love this place. And they improved the backdrop. You know, you got the arch in center field, but they built this baseball village, and they also built a new hotel that extends up higher than the arch, it seems like, from your perspective. So you look out. It's a well-done park. It's got a great backdrop, just like Pittsburgh ballpark does. And it's a great place to come, great place to play, other than the weather.
Yeah, you know, you've got some good St. Louis memories, though, over the years, not only as a player. Well, what do you remember as a player going in there? And, of course, how about the interactions with the Cardinals in the pennant years? You've got some good baseball memories out of this place.
No doubt about it. You know, I go to parks now and I look around, and it brings back the old memories. Of course, this isn't the old ballpark that I played in on the AstroTurf. But what really stood out, you know, that was the Whitey Herzog era, and they had all that great speed. And you better be on your toes as a defender because they were going to run. You had to hold the runners. You had to keep them close. They had, you know, Ozzie Smith was there. He used to go out for batting practice and watch him take ground balls. You know, watch him do that backflip coming out onto the field. So they had a lot of style. They put a lot of pressure on you, the Vince Coleman's, Willie McGee's. And Willie's still here, and he's an East Bay native. He lives in the East Bay over in Martinez next to me, and it's great to see them have some history on their coaching staff and have Willie McGee here. So that's what first comes to mind about playing here. And then, of course, coming through here and beating Tony La Russa's team and 2002 to go to the World Series, and then also beating Mike Matheny in the playoffs there. I think that would be 12, if my memory serves me correct. So great memories here in St. Louis.
Yeah, the one for me is Zito pitching that Game 5. And, you know, you've been around many, many years. You've seen a lot. That's still one of the best games, I think, in Giants history.
Yeah, well, a must-win game, you know, a game that you have to have, playoff. It's always larger than life. And, you know, Zito, you know, jerked up a great game. And that's why you can't just, you know, write it in. Oh, this team's going to win. This team's going to do that. You have to play the game, and the performance is going to dictate who wins.
Well, say, all right, so the break happens. Did you have a good break? Did you recharge the batteries?
Absolutely. Like always, the break's a little quick, right, Marty?
Yeah.
3 days, 3 nights goes by real quick. But we went up to North Shore, Tahoe Donner. We usually run a place up there. And we brought the dog, and Lori was happy. She got to walk. We got to go to the lake and recharge. And we're ready for the second half.
What's the key here? Look, this is the pennant race now. This is the, you know, this is the cattle drive. These are the 2 months where you got to play some decent ball. You've been down this road before. What's the key here in getting the second half momentum going where you don't lose that mojo that you had in the first part?
Yeah, well, great question. I think for us right now, it's health. I mean, at this point in time, we need to get, you know, a Belt, a Longo, a LaStella, a Posey. He's still unable to go. I mean, we're playing here without four of our regulars, and we're still doing a very good job of staying in first place. So we need to get some of those horses back, that's for sure. And I think staying healthy through the rest of the way. And, you know, you got to avoid a long losing streak. And usually what helps you avoid a long losing streak is your starting pitching. And we've been fabulous at that as well. You know, they're always keeping us in the game. So, you know, those are a couple of key points for us going forward. And of course, you know, don't panic. You know, take it one game at a time, like the old cliches go, and keep chipping away and try to win every game every day. Because the games get, you know, there's a little more pressure to win every game. And we've been doing a good job of that. But we have to continue to do that and play for today and not necessarily worry for about tomorrow.
You haven't had a lot of action at third base. I was thinking about this. 52%, I think Bill said this on the show last night after the game, 52% of the runs scored by the Giants have come on the home run, which made me think of you all of a sudden. I said, boy, Woe doesn't have a lot of action at third base. Basically, you got to get your handshake down, and that's about it.
Well, you're right. You know, I had to call Phil Nevin with the Yankees because he knows how to come up with different handshakes and find out what the heck he was doing. I think he handed off the football one day. Well, I'm not going to do that. You know, I thought about one of our executives. He said, you ought to take credit for the homers. He goes, wave them in when they come around third. You know, I just wave them in like you're scoring a guy. So I thought about that. I couldn't get myself to do that either. So, you know, I'm doing the high five, the low five, you know, the fist pump, and that's about as exciting as it gets with me.
All right. Well, that's one way to score runs. But, you know, as you go on, you got to figure out other ways to score runs because better pitchers will shut down that home run. So that's for me, that's one of the keys to the second half is figuring out other ways to score. Hey, Kim, last night, he was a guy who got the ball through the ball. And I know Duggar stepped out a few times. You got to break the rhythm of guys like that, don't you?
Yeah, if they get locked in, and I wasn't in the hitters meeting yesterday. I usually try to get in there definitely the first day of the series. I didn't know what the plan of attack was against him. But you're right. There's a lot of pitchers that work fast, and you know, that's stuff you bring up in your hitters meeting. Hey, let's break his rhythm. Let's step out. Let's make him wait. Things of that nature. You know, he shut us down pretty good. I think that's the second outing that he did it. You know, he throws that real slow breaking ball. And of all the pitchers in the league, he's got two very good starts against us, as good as anybody in baseball. I was a little surprised they took him out in the sixth inning. And as soon as they took him out of the game, the seventh, eighth, and ninth, we had opportunities to win that game every inning.
Well, it's true. You just needed that big hit, and, yeah. You know, that's a story of baseball. Let me bring Bill in, and, Bill, I'll ask you this. You know, hitters like to step out. They like to break the rhythm of a pitcher. I think that's a key part of the gamesmanship of being a hitter in good counts.
Yeah, I believe so, too. Hi, good morning, Ron, and good morning, Marty.
Good morning, Bill.
You're absolutely right, unless you're Bob Gibson, and Bob Gibson, you hated that. And we all know how Bob Gibson was and how tough he was. You stepped out of the box, he drilled you, or he threw one under your chin. But that was the part of the game, I think, when you're talking about speeding up the game. I think that's one thing that you have to look at, because hitters do that all the time, adjust their batting gloves and do all the little things they do. To get prepared for the at-bat. Ron, did you do that a lot when you played? Did you step out a lot, or did you just stay in the box?
I stayed in the box. Hell, if I stepped out, they'd drill me, like you said, just for stepping out. It wasn't just Bob Gibson or Nolan Ryan. It was anybody. They get in there, kid, and hit your single. But, no, I did not too much. You know, I like keeping my foothold in the box. You know, somebody else did that was a pretty darn good hitter, who I played with in AAA as well as coached, and that was Barry Bonds. If you ever noticed him, he got in the box. He stayed in the box. He kept his line of sight and didn't move his feet. A lot of guys today step all the way out. You think of the Red Sox-Yankee games, and they're taking practice swings, fixing their gloves. But he kept his line of sight. And I always liked doing that as well. I felt there was, you know, I had a good visual of the pitches that were just thrown, and I didn't want to change that. So I only stepped out if we had a game plan to slow a guy down.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, I watched O'Neill charge that ball last night in left field, and he botched it. And that led to Flores scoring. You had held him up, and Flores stopped. Then he went in when the error happened. But I was thinking about left fielders. And, boy, if you could get a left fielder with a good arm, it really means a lot, I think. And being a third base coach, I was just curious, left field arms, the ones that may impress you, and how important is it? Because when, you know, you're close and that ball goes shoots through that left side, you want a left fielder who can drill it to the plate. And I thought I'd get something from you on that.
Well, you're right. You know, kind of the throwing aspect of the game today is a little bit gone by the wayside. I mean, these guys, you know, no one takes infield. And, you know, some guys go out and throw, you know, as part of their routine. But there's very few very good arms. And this guy here, O'Neill, is playing left field for St. Louis, and he's got a bazooka. And I'm a little surprised they are playing him in left, because usually the real good arm you put in right field.
Right.
And the right fielder here in St. Louis, he doesn't have the strong arm. He's got the average arm. And I actually asked Arenado last night at third base, hey, do these guys always play, you know, left and right? I'm a little surprised because of the arm strength. So I'm trying to find out what their thinking is. You'd want that O'Neill arm in right field because there's more throws to third. It's a longer and takes a stronger throw. But it's tough. It's tough with a left fielder with a good arm, like you're saying. It's tough to score, and that's what happened last night with Flores. He had a chance to score. There was one out, but he's not real fleet of foot. And with one out and a real powerful arm, I didn't want Flores to get that piano on his back halfway to home. And then here we go. He cranks out, you know, a great throw, and we're out down by three runs. So I wasn't able to score him initially until he bobbled the ball. But you're right, Marty. The arms make a difference. We just played the Nationals, and they had probably the best throwing outfield that we've seen with Parr when he was out there and Robles that was out there. And these guys, too. You got Edmonds throws the ball very good when he's out there. O'Neill throws it above average, and so does Bader. And we just hit home runs, like you said, so we haven't had to test them yet. But it's difficult to score guys when you have guys with good arms.
Hey, Ron, teams travel across the nation all the time, but most of the time from the West Coast to the Midwest or East Coast, dehydration comes into it. And you go into humidity. Of course, you got lucky in St. Louis. But I'm talking about Brandon Crawford. He ended up going to Colorado. Yeah. And, of course, the elevation there changes the dynamics of an athlete. And then he travels to St. Louis, and, of course, he grimaces and grabs his hamstring. And sure enough, it wasn't a damage to the hamstring. It was more dehydration. Can you talk about a little bit about what teams do when you travel to the Midwest and East Coast? And do they hydrate going through, or Gatorades? What kind of thing the players get and take?
Yeah, Bill, great question. Now, you know, we have nutritionalists and our strength and conditioning coaches. They're, you know, we have stuff on the plane. They have these hydration drinks. They're packets. You know, you pour into your water. That helps you absorb the liquids more. You know, we all have these text threads, and they remind everybody on the flight, say, make sure you hydrate, you know. And then we're going into this humid weather. It even ratchets it up, as you saw with Crawford flying around the altitude. You come here. You know, guys are sweating a heck of a lot more than they're used to. So it's constantly being told to them to drink water. You'll see the trainers bringing water to them in the dugout in between innings. But we do it on the plane. Saul, who does a great job, is one of our strength coaches. He'll walk up and down the plane and give you a hydration packet to put into your water to use that. And, of course, it continues when we get to the ballpark. So they push it really, really hard. It really does come into play.
Who gives out the lettuce to put in your hat?
Well, that's a nutritionalist. That's right up her alley. You know, it's very good for you. There's no fat, and she's the one that does that. That's Lerone.
Yeah, come on. People used to do that. They would put in their shoes and their hat, you know, the cabbage. to cool off. Dave Fleming said it. Yep. He thought St. Louis was the hottest place on the circuit. I always think Washington is pretty tough, too. But that's St. Louis, and that, you're right, that is Midwest, and we've dodged the bullets here in not having any weather. Well, Flores, I wanted to mention him because we've touched on him a few times. I think the guy's playing great ball. Not only is he controlling the at-bat, and he goes to right field, and boy, he got a nice single last night off Reyes to start off that ninth inning. But his throws are so much better, and his range is better. Don't you see that with Flores? I think he's picked up this game a lot.
No question. And, you know, he's always been a professional hitter, and, you know, he's always been a guy that had a reputation that he kills left-handed pitching. But sometimes when you give a guy opportunity to play against right-handed pitching, he can kill that too. And he's that good of a hitter. So with our guys out, you know, Longo out and Belt, he's getting more opportunities to start against right-handers because he gives you a professional at-bat. And he's getting the job done. But to your point on the defense, I think last year we stuck him at third because we had to. Longo was down with a little bit. And he played more second over the years, but he really profiles better at third base. And we all knew that, and we said he profiles good there. But, you know, when a guy doesn't get a lot of reps at one position, like last year we threw him in the fire with limited work at third base, he made a few errors, and what happens? You go, oh, he can't play over there. He's not very good. Well, when a guy gets regular playing time at one position, it's amazing that people can get better. They improve their game. They get more comfortable. And I think you're seeing that with Flo. You know, it's been years since he's really played the left side on a regular basis. And, you know, he has his moments with a couple of throws. But to your point, he profiles better. You know, his range plays better at third than second. His throws are getting stronger, and he's doing a real good job over there. Mm-hmm. So what a professional he is, and we're lucky to have him.
Hey, Ron, the Giants lost a good man in Dick Tidrow this past week, and I know you were very good friends with him. Can you give us some final reaction on that, and was it very emotional for you as well as other coaches?
Yeah, Bill, thanks for bringing that up. Well, it was emotional for me yesterday. Not yesterday, the day before. You know, they had a moment of silence on the field here in St. Louis for Dick, and I made sure that I was out there. And then I also called Mary Jo, his wife, to speak to her, and it just broke my heart, you know, how it happened. And we lost such a good man just professionally, but Mary Jo shared a little bit on just how kind and happy this guy was. And we all know Dick on the baseball side and his great decisions and being saved as right-hand man and helping us win those three World Series, acquiring players, trades, very astute baseball guy, and was a big part of our success. And, you know, as you get older like myself and you're losing people like that who you accomplished some great things with, it hits you. It hits you. And it was very emotional, and I'm so sorry that Dick is gone, and I really feel for Mary Jo and the family.
Boy, well said, Will. I think that sums it up for everybody as well. Well, I'll tell you something. Here we go. It never gets old, does it? The pennant race and now the vital games as we look one game ahead of the Dodgers, four coming up with L.A. This is the part we live for. This is what baseball's all about. You never know what's going to happen, who's going to come out of where, who the hero's going to be, and what the story's going to be. And now I think we're right at the precipice, right at that first step of going there.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, it's going to be a big series in L.A. And, you know, back to what we have to do. I mean, you know, everything gets a little more under the microscope during the pennant race. And, you know, it boils down to execution. You said small ball. You know, when you got to get a guy in from third, you got to bunt a guy over, whatever it is. If you don't get it done, it becomes a lot more glaring. So, if you can continue to hit home runs and score your runs that way, great. But we got to win the close game as well, and we have the bullpen to do it, and we have the guys to do it. So hopefully we can execute and play good baseball like we did in the first half.
Well, it's been a great season, and do a little kayaking and a walk around that farmer's market at River Islands, and it would be a perfect Sunday, right?
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, my goodness, all the things that you can do over there at River Islands. I was I was just thinking about that. You know, I went for the All-Star break. I went up to the lake, right? Well, you don't have to go anywhere when you're at River Islands. It's right there for you. You think about being at the water in the summertime with the lake and the river. It really is a great place to live. And I hope people get out there and look into River Islands, and that community has so much to offer.
Terrific. Have a great week, Will. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ron.
Take care.
All right, Bill. All right, Marty. Good being with you. Thank you.
All right. All right. Take care. That is our third base coach. More coming up. Bill, you've got Mark Gonzalez coming up, formerly of the Chicago Tribune. I love listening to Gonzo. He's coming up next with you.
Yes, he is. And we're going to talk a little bit about trades. We're going to talk about a little bit about Dick Tidrow. So that's coming up next on Talkin' Baseball right here on KNBR, the sports leader.